Welcome to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast updating you on the latest IT news to come out of Redmond. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, and I thank you for downloading and listening to this show. In this week's episode, Microsoft unveils Hyper-V Server 2008 R2. Critical Windows fixes are expected on Patch Tuesday. The courts grant a stay in the Microsoft versus I4I patent case, and IBM launches a cloud-based desktop. We'll get right to the news after this quick break. Welcome to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. And as always, I welcome your feedback on this show at mdomingo@1105media.com. That's M-D-O-M-I-N-G-O at 1105media.com. And if you want to record a quick message or a shout-out, you can do so by calling me and leaving a voicemail message at 949-265-1564. You can also catch this show on redmondradio.podbean.com if you want to download the show automatically via iTunes. The Podbean version of the show always includes more information, such as the IT Web Gems segment, and once in a while, I'll announce contests that are only available by looking at the description page at redmondradio.podbean.com. All right, let's get right to it. Microsoft released the latest version of its free standalone server virtualization solution a week ago, Friday. The new release, Hyper-V Server 2008 R2, can take advantage of greater computing resources compared with the first version. With R2, Microsoft increased the number of physical and logical processors supported, and the product now supports physical memory of up to 1 terabyte. This release features Microsoft's built-in live migration capability. Live migration is designed to move virtual machines with no perceived loss of uptime by end users. It also can facilitate hardware updates such as a BIOS change or memory upgrades during planned downtimes. The VMs can be moved out before the hardware upgrade and then moved back when the work is completed. Microsoft includes a processor compatibility feature in Hyper-V Server 2008 R2 that allows VMs to be moved across different processor generations, provided that the processors come from the same hardware vendor. So users can move VMs across Intel chipsets or across AMD chipsets, for instance, but not across a mixture of the two. Hyper-V Server 2008 R2 can run up to 384 VMs with up to 512 virtual processors per server, according to Microsoft's team blog. Management can be accomplished using Microsoft's free remote server administration tool for Windows 7 or Windows Server 2008 R2 or System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2. Microsoft also made it easier for original equipment manufacturer partners to ship the hypervisor. Hyper-V Server 2008 R2 includes a new feature that lets users boot it from a flash drive even. For the second time this year, Microsoft issued a security advisory for possible vulnerabilities in its Internet Information Services web server software. Prior to the advisory's release a week ago Tuesday, Redmond had said that IIS 5.0 and version 6.0 could be affected. In those versions of the software, the file transfer protocol service may be porous enough to allow incursions. In that announcement, the software giant stated that IIS 5.0, 5.1, and 6 could all be affected by publicly disclosed vulnerabilities. Such bugs could allow remote code execution on infected systems that are running the FTP service and are connected to the internet, said Microsoft. Vulnerabilities affecting IIS have been seen before, of course. In May, Redmond issued a security advisory to address holes in IIS server versions 5.0, 5.1, and 6.0. The security advisory comes just after proof of concept code was released on the Milworm exploit discussion portal. According to Milworm, the bugs exploit holes in IIS 5 and 6 running on Windows 2000, enabling a remote code execution exploit via a Stack Overflow. Microsoft issued this security advisory to address not just Windows 2000, but also XP, Vista, and Windows Server 2003, Windows Server 2008, even Windows 7. IIS is among the world's most frequently used web server applications, second only to the Apache HTTP server. Redmond has tried to address the threats in various ways. About this time last year, Microsoft released the web version of a tool called EarlScan 3.0, a complement to IIS that tracks and authenticates HTTP server requests, potentially blocking malicious code. Apparently, hackers have studied this tool and have figured out a way to circumvent its effectiveness. The problem has become so pervasive that as a follow-up to its own advisory in May, the U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team issued another advisory last week saying that it encourages administrators to disable anonymous write access to the FTP server to help mitigate the vulnerability. The U.S. CERT added that a proper impact analysis should be performed prior to taking defensive measures. Microsoft launched a new licensing promotion last week aimed at mid-sized companies vying to better manage their servers and IT resources. The licensing offer includes the use of Microsoft System Center Essentials 2007 and System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2008. The Microsoft System Center Management Suite offer is currently available either through Microsoft or its participating OEM partners. Participating OEM partners are offering a technology upgrade to those buying Microsoft System Center Management Suite licensing. Customers will be able to upgrade to System Center Essentials 2010 when it's released, which is expected to happen in the first half of next year. The upgrade to the 2010 version will not require the repurchasing of licenses or hardware upgrades. Microsoft expects System Center Essentials 2010 to be a bit more inclusive than its 2007 version. The 2010 version will include functionality of System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2008 R2. In a separate promotion, Microsoft plans to offer its volume licensing customers upgrade rights to System Center Essentials 2010 on October 1st. Customers will need to have purchased Microsoft's two-year software assurance licensing option to take advantage of the promo, though. OEM partners Fujitsu and Lenovo are the only vendors named as offering the new licensing. A Microsoft spokesperson stated in an email that Microsoft is working with additional partners on this offer, but are only announcing Lenovo and Fujitsu at this time. There are a few nuances to consider when buying the licensing either through OEMs or Microsoft. According to a spokesman via email, pricing is different for OEM and volume license channels. Customers who require the license via OEMs will get a full version of SCVMM 2008 as part of the SC Essentials Management Suite. It goes on to say Microsoft volume licensing customers get SCVMM Workgroup Edition and SCE 2007 with software assurance. The OEM suite licensing is available as of September 1st, and the volume licensing channel promotion will be available on October 1st. Both OEM and volume licensing customers purchase the offerings at less than retail. Retail is $2,868 and $3,500 respectively. The Microsoft volume licensing prices include the software assurance option and would be reduced to $2,006 at its discounted price. Microsoft last Tuesday announced the availability of a test version of its Windows Embedded Standard 2011 operating system, formerly codenamed Quebec. The community technology preview can be downloaded at the Microsoft Connect site. The new OS is part of the broader Windows Embedded product family and succeeds Windows Embedded Standard 2009, which was a Windows XP-based OS. Windows Embedded Standard 2011 is Windows 7-based, supporting both 32 and 64-bit x86 hardware. This release marks the first occasion where the standard version provides 64-bit support. The OS was originally described as Vista-based, but Microsoft clarified back in October that it would build the next version of Windows Embedded Standard on Windows 7. The CTP software is available for testing by the public as well as by Microsoft's OEM manufacturer partners and developers. Redmond plans to release the OS to the market in approximately the second half of calendar year 2010. Windows Embedded Standard 2011 is a componentized form of Windows 7 that supports specialized hardware devices such as consumer internet devices, thin clients, kiosks, and medical devices. Developers can select the components they need for a particular device. The OS includes Microsoft's Silverlight Multimedia Application, .NET Framework 3.5, and Remote Desktop Protocol 7. In addition, it supports Windows Media Player 12 and Internet Explorer 8. Developers can access a custom shell and can set up custom branding. The embedded OS supports a number of Windows 7 features, including the Aero graphical user interface and touch, as well as AppLocker and BitLocker security features. Windows Embedded Standard 2011 will work with other Microsoft solutions, such as Active Directory for setting group policies, or Microsoft System Center Configuration Manager, as well as desktop virtualization and Microsoft Terminal Services. Rich user experiences can be set up using Microsoft's Windows Presentation Foundation. This sort of integration with Microsoft products is possible with the 2009 standard version, but the 2011 standard version provides the additional benefits of supporting Microsoft's latest technologies and Windows 7 capabilities. Microsoft plans to release more information about its Windows Embedded product roadmap within the next 30 days, including a keynote address at the upcoming Embedded Systems Conference in Boston, September 22nd. Microsoft rolled out yet another free test version of Windows 7 last week, this time targeting IT pros who haven't previously had access to the new operating system. This release is called the Windows 7 Enterprise 90-Day Trial Edition, available for those who aren't subscribers to Microsoft's TechNet or MSDN professional services, or who haven't signed up for the software assurance option as part of Microsoft licensing agreement. The trial edition is strictly for testing. It expires in 90 days, shutting down every hour. Those who download Windows 7 through Microsoft Subscriber Services or Volume Licensing with Software Assurance don't face those time limitations on their copies. Microsoft doesn't intend the trial edition for consumers, and you have to qualify to use the software by first completing a survey. The offer is limited to an undisclosed number of downloads or until March 31st, 2010, whichever comes first. The trial edition comes with its own activation key, but testers need to activate the software within 10 days of use or it will start shutting down. The Windows 7 Enterprise 90-Day Trial Edition is available only in English, French, German, Japanese, and Spanish. It can be downloaded at Microsoft's Springboard page. A big caveat to using the trial edition is that there's no upgrade path to the commercial Windows 7 Enterprise Edition if you decide you like it and want to buy it on October 22nd, which is when Microsoft will publicly release the OS. Instead, you'll have to do a clean install of Windows 7 all over again, as well as all of your drivers and applications. Those who downloaded the release candidate test version of Windows 7 can continue to use it until it expires on June 1st, 2010. The RC will warn of its impending expiration by rebooting every hour, and that process will start happening March 1st, 2010. Microsoft no longer offers the RC version for download. Microsoft is forecasting a rare patch Tuesday next week, with all of these September security bulletins expected to be deemed critical. In its advanced notification, Redmond said that all five fixes would address remote code execution exploits in its Windows operating systems. The first critical patch will affect every supported Windows OS. The second patch only touches Vista and Windows Server 2008. Critical item number three would fix every supported Windows OS, and the fourth item includes every Windows OS with the exception of XP. Patch 5 will be aimed to shore up RCE exploits in Windows 2000, XP, and Windows Server 2003. Microsoft's advanced notifications seldom spell out the exact components to be fixed. Possibly, Redmond intends to patch Windows components such as the recently troublesome Active Template Library or Graphic Device Interface. Let's hit one more item before the break. A U.S. Federal Appeals Court last Thursday stayed an injunction against Microsoft, pending appeal in a patent dispute involving Microsoft Word. The stay temporarily suspends a final judgment issued by Judge Leonard Davis of the U.S. District Court for East Texas until further arguments are heard on the appeal. Oral arguments are scheduled for September 23rd. Judge Davis ordered Microsoft to pay more than $240 million in damages and penalties for violating a patent held by Toronto-based i4ILP. The case involves so-called custom XML used in Word and Office. In addition, the judge ordered Microsoft to stop selling copies of Word in the U.S. market by October 10, which was 60 days after the final judgment, if Word uses i4i's patented technology. Microsoft filed papers appealing the final judgment last week. The company disputes the patent violation and the judge's performance in the case. PC makers Dell and HP filed amicus curiae papers backing Microsoft, suggesting that the restrictions on Word sales would hamper their businesses. i4i plans to respond to Microsoft's appeals filing on September 8th. Loudon Owen, i4i's chairman, said that Microsoft was just using scare tactics in this case. We'll continue with more news in a second. Let's break for this message from 1105 Media and WatchGuard. Download When Corporate Network Safety Starts at Employees' Homes, protecting your network from home wireless hackers. With the increasing sophistication and ease with which hackers attack, IT managers must train their end users on wireless security, specifying wireless router hardware and configuration settings, and in some cases, providing firewall, VPN endpoint appliances managed from the data center for key employees in home use. This white paper covers 8 essential tips for nailing down security for off-site wireless users. Share it with your remote users today to help them work from home safely. You can find this white paper in the mcpmag.com tech library. And welcome back to Redmond Radio. All right, let's get back to some more news. All right, we have three more news items to close out the rest of this show. First up, Microsoft last Tuesday announced a test version of an extension that's designed to help speed up PHP-based web applications running on Windows. The new Windows Cache extension for a PHP solution, currently in beta release, is an accelerator that works with PHP Engine in Windows and Windows Server. Microsoft released two versions for PHP 5.2 and PHP 5.3. To add the accelerator, IT pros need to run the Microsoft Web Platform Installer 2.0 RC application. The extension works with Internet Information Services in version 7.5, 7.0, 6.0, and 5.1. With the accelerator in place, developers do not need to modify their code to take advantage of any performance improvements. According to a blog by Ruslan Yakushev, a program manager on the Microsoft IS team, There are a few caveats to using this extension, the blog noted. It works only with non-thread safe builds of PHP. Also, IIS needs to be configured to run PHP via FastCGI. Microsoft is currently planning to release FastCGI 1.5 sometime this fall. For users of PHP 5.3, the extension can only be used with the x86 VC9 build. The beta can improve Windows PHP cache performance in three ways, according to Microsoft. Compiled PHP script bytecode gets stored in shared memory for repeat use. A file cache component reduces the number of file operations handled by the PHP engine. And finally, Microsoft added a caching system for relative file paths that reduces the time spent managing them to absolute file paths. Microsoft provides a guide authored by Yakushev on how to use the extension, and there's also a forum to report bugs and ask questions or suggest new features. Microsoft hasn't yet tested the extension with Zen Server, according to a forum reply on September 2nd. Zen Server is a web server product specialized for running enterprise-grade PHP code. Last week, Red Hat released the fourth update of the Red Hat Enterprise Linux platform, which the company is calling the foundation of its virtualization portfolio. REHL 5.4 comes with several new features, but the biggest change in this release is the integration of the kernel-based virtual machine hypervisor technology that Red Hat acquired last year with its purchase of QumranNet. The company had been and is still closely aligned with the Xen hypervisor, which was first integrated into REHL 5.0 in March 2007. But the KVM hypervisor will sit right beside the Xen hypervisor, said Navin Thadani, senior director of Red Hat's virtualization business. He was quick to add that REHL customers who have deployed the Xen hypervisor will continue to be supported throughout the full lifecycle of REHL 5. Red Hat announced its virtualization product strategy, which is centered on a product portfolio called Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization, in February. The REHEV portfolio consists of a server virtualization management system, a VDI management stack, a standalone hypervisor based on the KVM, and REHL itself with the integrated KVM. REHL 5.4 also comes with features targeted to application developers, including an enhanced system tab performance monitoring toolset with support for profiling and monitoring C++ applications. This release includes a large number of static kernel trace points to simplify performance observation for the highest profile kernel subsystems. Down the road, Red Hat plans to include an implementation of the malloc memory allocation library tuned for the latest generation of multi-core processors. REHL 5.4 is the first release to production of several products for the REHEV portfolio. The company will be filling out that portfolio throughout the rest of this year. And finally, IBM has begun taking desktop computing directly to the cloud. The company last week released a virtualized client computing offering it touts as a cloud-based desktop. The new service will let business users log into their desktops from either a thin client terminal or low-end PC. But rather than using the thin client to connect to data in an enterprise data center via IBM Smart Business Private Cloud and CloudBurst offerings, both of which were launched last June, users will be able to access those same resources in the cloud hosted by IBM. Big Blue's new Smart Business Desktop on the cloud is subscription-based and is intended for those that don't want to invest in the server, software, and networking infrastructure. By virtualizing desktop computing resources, IBM said it is providing logical rather than physical access to data, compute resources, and storage. The benefit of such a virtual desktop is ease of management, improved security, and reliability, said IBM. Big Blue made a similar case for its initial foray into the virtual desktop in June, while the benefit of its newest iteration eliminates the need for server storage and network infrastructure, said the company. The service initially will be available with support for Windows XP and Vista desktops running on the cloud. Windows 7 support will be added shortly after launch. Customers will have to pay for the OS license and any software they would have to run on Windows. While the company didn't disclose pricing, they indicated there'd be no startup fees and users can sign up for a minimum of 3 months and 50 users. Another option will allow 36-month contracts with at least 200 users. And that's it for this week's episode. Before we go, I'd like to say thanks once again to all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program, and especially those who pass this show on to their colleagues. I'm Michael Domingo. I'll chat with you next week right here on Redmond Radio.